Well, God gave us reflexes. He's given us a lot of reflexes, and there are some that are really, really important, like the thirst reflex. The thirst reflex. We think about the reflexes God has given us. They're all for our survival. We need to have a thirst reflex so that we will not die of dehydration. And especially in the hot weather now, we need to drink a lot of water. Well, He also has given us a hunger reflex so that we won't starve to death. And He gave humanity a sexual urge to merge so that we can keep the earth populated. So all these reflexes were given by God, so it's not surprising that God also gave us a spiritual reflex. And that spiritual reflex is with that people may not even realize it. They may not realize it, but they are hungering, they are thirsting, they are wanting a relationship with God. They want spiritual life. That's their spiritual reflex. They want spiritual life. They may not know where it's coming from or where spiritual life can be found, but that's what they're seeking. They're really seeking that. They would, and that's what this whole illustration is about. That people are, in some way or another, they are seeking. But they don't know, they may be seeking down the wrong pathway, but they are seeking. And Philip, the story of Philip, he is being led to go to a stranger to share the gospel. And this is an illustration that his example illustrates to us how that we also can help others who are seeking to find the one that they're seeking for, but they don't know it, and we're out there to help them. Well, how can this happen? How does this happen? Well, first we must be personally and closely related to God. That's the most important part. Our relationship with God is the key, and it must be a relationship of trust and obedience. You know that song, Trust and Obey? Well, it must be trust and it must be obedience. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south on the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. You see two things. You see guidance, and then he's listening to the guidance, and then he's obeying. He's trusting the guidance, and then he's obeying. And so that's the first illustration. Now, God didn't tell him what he was going to have him do. And you know something? Sometimes God doesn't tell us everything about what we're going to do. He doesn't give us the agendas. He just says, take the first step. There was a fellow that used to come here a lot, and some of you might remember him. His name was Peter Strachan. Peter Strachan. Peter Strachan had a song that he used to sing, One Step at a Time. You know, and that's really how it is with God. He doesn't say, I'm going to take you down this step and this step and this step. He doesn't tell us that. He says, just take this step. We take that step. He says, now, I keep listening. Take the next step. And so we need to continue, first of all, obey him on the first step, and then continue listening to him. And how we do this is stay close to God, stay in connection with God. It's always easier to hear God if you're closer to Him. You get farther away from God, it's harder to hear Him. You know, at Christmas time you see these kids, they're getting remote control cars. And they'll run, but if they run too far away, all of a sudden the car doesn't work anymore. Why? It's out of range. That's our problem too. If we get out of range with God by not listening and not having the equipment turned on, our spiritual ears turned on, then what happens? We can get out of range. And when that happens, we're on our own. And it's not fun to be witnessing to somebody about Christ and you're on your own and God's not helping you, because you really do need God's help. It's of the essence of witnessing is having God's help. So we have to be close to God and we have to be listening, or we get out of range. Now, how do we learn to listen to God? That's a question a lot of people have. Well, I tell people that the best way to learn, and you have to learn it, it doesn't come just automatic. You have to learn it. And one of the best places to have a quiet time, a daily quiet time, where you open a devotional book, you open the Bible, you have a time, maybe it's a little devotional that you read, a daily devotional. Whatever it is, you're actually having a time where you get some scripture and God suddenly speaks to you. What you have to do is to expect to hear His voice when you're having that quiet time. Expect that God will show up. You show up for God for quiet time, so you expect God will show up too. Okay? So that's one way you start hearing from God. And sometimes there's like a light comes on in your mind. You say, wow, I never realized that. Or, that's a good thing. I can use this in my life somewhere. I can use that when I talk to that person. Or something like that. Because they're having a problem with that. This answers the question. And it's like, yeah, God is speaking to you. So, and then we can also anticipate hearing His voice all around us. In nature. In creation. Creation's really big. And we'll talk about this later too. Because creation is a place where we can actually point to the finger of God in creation and help people to come to know Christ if we start there. So, that's the big deal. Learning to listen. Learning and anticipating His voice. And then, remembering what Jesus said. He gave us this illustration, or He gave us this actually description of us as sheep. He said, "My sheep hear My voice." Well, it's right there. Well, Jesus told us that His sheep hear His voice. Well, we need to practice listening, because I know sometimes little kids, we take care of our granddaughter, and I say, Callie, come back here. And she's not listening. She's all distracted by what she wants to do. You know, and that's how we get distracted too. But we need to be focused. We need to be expecting, anticipating. He's going to speak, and then practice good listening skills with our spiritual ears, okay? And we must also be responsive to what He's already shown us. Because the guidance is ongoing. We must be already on the way to get more guidance. In other words, if God told you, get on the way, well, you don't have to say, well, give me some more guidance. No. You get on the way first, and then He'll give you more. You must be already on the way. You must be already obeying Him, what you've already been shown, for Him to give you further guidance. And remember this, it's not so much about the destination, it's about the journey. If I can get one point across, it's really important. It's not about the goal, the destination, the future point. No, it's about the present journey that we're on with God. That's what's so important. And so, it's about the journey. So He started out toward Gaza. On His way, He met an Ethiopian. Gaza was the road that He took. And so logically, He could have thought, well, it's Gaza. I'm supposed to go down to Gaza. Well, that's second-guessing God. No, He wasn't supposed to go down to Gaza. That was not the destination. The destination can if we get a destination, we focus on the destination, it can throw us off. He was not focusing on that. He was just obeying, and that's what we've got to do. Because if we focus, I got to get there, you know, to there, instead of concentrating on the journey, sometimes we can be distracted. We can be distracted from God's purpose in our lives. And God brings all kinds of situations to us where in our lives where He might want us to share our faith with other people. So we have to be listening. What does God want me to do in this situation? And this is the thing. What is the best attitude in this whole thing of being led by God? What is the best attitude? Is it the attitude of a destination focus where we might say, well, someday I'll be prepared and I'll have better Bible knowledge and then I can share. Or my house will be presentable to someone. I've got to get things cleaned up around here. Then I can invite people over. I've got to be a more spiritual person. Then I can share. Well, those someday, I'm a gonna do it. You know, that can never happen. It can just like, it's procrastination is what it's called. Well, that's one focus, but the other focus is the journey focus. How does the journey focus it? What is God saying to me now? What is God saying to me right now? What does He want me to do today? What is His leading in my life today? You know? Or He could be saying, you know, what at this point in my journey, who am I supposed to touch in my life? At this point in my journey. So that's all about today. That's all about now. That's all about the present. The real possibilities are before us, where sometimes the future, there might be possibilities or probabilities, but in front of us right now is the journey. And that's where we need to be living, and that's where we need to be thinking. So the Lord wants to lead us daily, and He wants to lead us all day long. He wants us to be open to Him all day long. Now, if Philip had said, "Oh, it's too hot today. I'm going to wait till tomorrow morning when it's cool, then I can start my journey," he might have missed the Ethiopian eunuch. Or if he had said, "Man, Gaza's far away. I'm going to have to hurry my pace and really hurry down there," he might have also outrun, and his path might not have crossed that of the Ethiopian eunuch. So, meeting a person was his real destination. It wasn't Gaza. It wasn't a location. It was meeting a person. And if we don't pay attention to the journey, we may run ahead of God, or we may lag behind, and not our paths not cross that person we're supposed to meet. So we've got to pay attention and focus on our journey and on our listening skills to God. Well, we don't want to do that, so we don't want to lag behind. God wants us to meet people, and then He wants us to share. So for that to happen, we have to get near them. We have to be connected with a non-Christian person. Well, to influence people, we have to be willing to move closer to them. And this is what it shows here in this passage. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it. Go to that chariot and stay near it." Now, some people might say, "Well, doesn't he want me to talk to him?" No, just go be there. And you know what? I think about that thing Milton said, "He also serves who only stands and waits." He also serves who only stands and waits. In other words, you're just waiting to do whatever is told to you. That's where we need to be on our journey. We don't need to be running ahead of God and say, "God must be set. I should say something. Hey, guy, what's up? Can I talk to you about something? I want to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ." He may not be there. They may not be at that place. A lot of times we buttonhole people if we do that. And really what we need to do is to wait. Wait on the Lord, you know? So, we look at Philip. And here he is, he's staying near the chariot. You know, Jesus, He showed us how to do this. He showed us how to do this. He moved closer to the people that He was supposed to minister to. You see, hear this in Mark chapter 2. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw Him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, He asked His disciples, "Why does He eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." He was going where He's supposed to go. And you know, how do we connect with people? How do we connect with people who don't know Christ? Well, we have to go. That's what Jesus said. Go. Go visit them. You know, sometimes you just got to go visit them. And you know, people, they're not going to come visit the church unless the church goes to visit them first. You know, a lot of times they need to hear about the church. Well, how do we connect? We connect by getting close, and then we listen. Listening to their questions before we give them the answers. Because God may not want to give the answer I've got in my head. He may want to give us to give another answer. That is the one that really meets the need. So first of all, we need to listen to questions before we give our answers, and we need to listen to God before we answer those questions. We have to have that listening ear. Now, first of all, the big issue of listening is so that we can discover people's needs. What are their needs? And Jesus gave us some ideas, some general ideas about what is the perspective on people's needs. And he did this in Matthew 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless and without a shepherd. You know? So how were they harassed? Well, they were harassed by the normal problems and trials, physical, emotional problems of life. Maybe they had some hurts in their lives and some bitterness. They were harassed by spiritual darkness, by despair, by discouragement, all kinds of things that people are harassed by. Then they're helpless. They're without Christian fellowship. They're without a family that they can fellowship with and have spiritual encouragement. And then the power of prayer. They don't know how to pray. They need to learn how to pray so they can have that as well. So they're helpless and they need those things. Without a shepherd, they can say that, they can repeat the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, but they really don't know the meaning of it. They've never experienced it in their lives. They need to experience what it is to have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So they need that. They're without a shepherd. By being connected with God, and by being responsive to His leading, and by getting close to people, we can help them find the one they are truly seeking. The Ethiopian, he was seeking, but he was stumped. He was caught. He just couldn't get any farther. And Philip's own journey was just at that time intersecting with the Ethiopian's journey. And it's like they crossed paths. And God was arranging that. And when that happened, Philip was led, finally, to share what we might have thought he would start with. Just tell him the good news. Simply say the good news. Well, you say, well, that's not so simple. I have a hard time, maybe, telling people the good news. Well, let's just do this. Let's start with a simple prayer. The simple prayer is, Lord, let me know what to say and how to say it and when and if to say it. You know, a lot of times we're anxious to share while we're supposed to be listening to someone. We're anxious to share something. We got the answer in our head before we even heard the question. And we're anxious to share something, but really, we need to ask God first. Am I supposed to share that right now? Maybe they're not ready for it. You know, maybe they are not really seeking. Or maybe they're at a place where they need something else. So we need also to listen to their questions, listen to their journey, but also listen to the Lord, because He knows what they need. And He may show us something that we can't even think of. We just have to be listening and ready. So we say, it's not so simple to do that. Well, how about we follow, maybe, the way that Jesus approached people? He often approached people with a question. He often approached people with a question. And that's what Philip did here. Do you understand what you are reading? He was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And he didn't understand something, you know? And so this was the question that God led him to ask. Do you understand what you're reading? Now, that's a big question. It opens things up. And if God leads us to share Christ with somebody, then you can bet God has already been working with them. God has already been showing them something. You're not the first one. You're just coming along, and you're intervening where God has already started. God's already started something. If He does lead you to share, then He's already been at work. So you don't have to worry about it. And that's how Jesus, He asked that question. And they are on a personal journey, and they have questions, and that's really important that we meet them where they are at. Where they are at. Philip began at that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Right where he was at in being stumped on something, he began to talk to him about Jesus. You know, people can get stalled out. They can get tripped up. and stalled out on their journey towards finding the one they are really seeking. And there's no area of creation that we cannot bring to them and start at that point to share about Jesus Christ and say, how can we use the trees? How can we use all the things around us that are part of His creation? It's because His hand, His finger is in those things. He is the Creator. It says in Colossians, "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him, so He can use anything." And that's what we have, a big repertoire of things that God can help us to share with other people. So God, we've got to remember this, God is often involved in how our paths cross the paths of other people. We've seen that in our lives. What a coincidence. Well, it's not a coincidence. God brings those things to pass. And when we do share our faith, it's not our responsibility to make it work. You know, God, if God is leading us, He's going to do the job. We're just there to be present and to maybe to introduce the whole subject of Christ. And God can take it from there. He can show what the people need. Well, one of the things that he did not know, Philip did not know who this guy was, but he happened to be the Ethiopian eunuch that was in charge of the whole monetary system of the Queen of Ethiopia. He was the treasurer of the whole land. So he was a high dignitary. And tradition says that he helped to found the church in Ethiopia, in the first church in Africa. We say, wow, just from that one occasion, Philip didn't know that, and you don't know. What is the result of when you share Christ with somebody else? You don't know what's going to happen with that. God can do fantastic, great things, you know, with our sharing. But we must do what Philip exemplified in this story. We be available, and we be listening and obedient to God's guidance. And this whole story is in the book of Acts for a reason. You see, Jesus has not stopped being the good shepherd. He is still the good shepherd who is using the sheep that he has found to find the sheep that are still lost. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're the sheep that have been found. Jesus has found us. The good shepherd has found us. Now he's trying to get us to help find those other sheep that are lost. He is still that great shepherd. But as sheep have to be close to the shepherd. You have to remain close to the shepherd or you'll get lost again. So we have to stay close to the shepherd. We have to stay sensitive to his leading, sensitive to his voice, and open to other people so that we can look for the opportunities that God gives us to share Christ with others. He's the one that they are really looking for, even if they don't know it. Let's pray. Father God, I do pray that you will help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, listening whenever, Lord, we are opening the Bible or just throughout the day, be sensitive and listening for your leading. Because, Lord, you want to be that shepherd. You said the sheep hear your voice. I pray that we will listen and hear your voice and be obedient and help others to come to know Christ just by sharing whatever you tell us to share. Sometimes maybe just a question. Well, whatever that is, Lord, give us that guidance and help us to be open to obey it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.